Well, dear brothers and sisters, it's really a privilege for me to be with you here this morning and share from God's Word. But please allow me just to first of all express our gratitude for your faithful prayers, for your practical support that enables us to do what we believe the Lord has called us to do in Slovenia. I would also like to bring greetings from Leon Novak, our minister. And I don't know if you remember Marian, who was playing the saxophone in summer when we brought the youth here to your church. Previous Sunday after the church service, he pulled me aside and he asked me make sure to share with you all that we pray for you. And then I also bring gratitude and thanks from all the parents of the young people that we have brought over in the summer. Because when they have been watching the video that we have made, they were blown away by your love, your hospitality that you have shown to their children. And they were asking, is this normal here that people respond so lovingly to someone that they don't know? So you've made a huge impact on the lives of these young people and on the lives of their parents that are also starting to be actively involved in church's life. So thank you very much for that. I would like to encourage you for the time that we have to open your Bibles back in Matthew chapter 7, where we will be focusing on the verses 7 to 11. In the first chapter of his book, Knowledge of the Holy, A.V. Tozer wrote the following: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. For this reason, the gravest question before the church is always God Himself. We tend, by a secret law of the soul, to move toward our mental image of God. This is true not only of the individual Christian, but of the church also. Our view of God defines who we are. Thus, for Christians, having a proper view of God is of key importance. When we fail to do so, we can, over a period of time, because of different factors, develop a distorted image of God, sufficing to create our own images based upon logic, our imaginations, or experiences that are deriving from human relationships. Correcting these false idols, which we can put in God's place, is for Tozer a vital thing that we must do. He challenges us to think deeper about how we view God. It is crucial to our relationship with Him to view Him rightly, which results in renewed prayer life, our worship of Him, and the way we experience Him in our daily lives. And we see something similar in our text as Jesus encourages His disciples when emphasizing His point by comparing earthly and heavenly Father to have a right view of our Heavenly Father, before whom we as His children ought to come to ask, seek, and to knock. So what is our view of our Heavenly Father like, and what should we be asking, seeking, and knocking for? In my college days, my lecturer, Desi Maxwell, continuously reminded us the following. There is no context without context. Therefore, it is really important for us to understand the context of our text, because without it, we can wrongly conclude that God is some sort of a slot machine who, if we persist long enough, will give us what we want. And we know that from the other parts of the Bible that God doesn't work like that. So, for example, in James 4:3, we read the following. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. So if we view Lord of Lords, King of Kings, our perfect heavenly Father, as someone who is willing to grant us every wish, we have somewhere down the lines been seriously misled. Let me therefore set the stage for thinking through this text by focusing our attention on two things. We will further develop them as we go along. First is that by coming to this point of the Sermon on the Mount and being exposed to this beautiful list of kingdom values, we can easily feel discouraged as we realize that we so many times fall short in living them out in our daily lives and witness. Second thing that we realize or can realize is that we need God's help, that we are actually in a desperate need of His grace if we want to see the fruit of kingdom values in our lives. Namely, as fallen beings, we are unable to strive for maturity in Christian lives by ourselves. So we need to come before our Heavenly Father as needy and pleading children who cry out for Father's help. So number one, coming before the caring, loving, and generous Heavenly Father in prayer. Verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. If we come back to the idea of context, we must first consider the immediate context of our text. And then we see in the opening words of chapter 7 that Jesus was encouraging and indeed challenging his disciples of not to be judgmental and not to have critical and proud spirit that would do what? That would degrade and harm fellow brothers and sisters. We should, however, be, on the other hand, sensible, accountable, and helpful to each other in a constructive and God-honoring way. He was also advising his disciples to be wise and prudent in their dealings with those who continuously mock, avoid, or even reject the gospel message. We should, however, be reminded to be patient and persevering with people because God is patient and still is persevering with us. When therefore we are confronted with such a high standards for Christian life, when challenged to model these kingdom values in our lives, we can end up being frustrated and perplexed, thinking to ourselves, Lord, please be merciful to me, sinner, because I don't measure up to this many times. The opening words for our text therefore point out the progressiveness in prayer. They point out the persevering plea of a child of God who, out of his limitations and powerlessness, out of his deep need, comes before caring, loving, and gracious Father for help. These are words of courage that Jesus is putting into his disciples in order to encourage them to come before God in persevering prayer. These are words that are good news for us all, because we are also encouraged to come before our Heavenly Father in prayer and ask him for help, that we would indeed possess and live out these kingdom values in our lives. Now, brothers and sisters, if we are honest, we would probably agree that majority of us here this morning should improve their prayer life. However, on the other hand, we know that we can be and have been persistent in prayer, particularly when it comes to our loved ones, our families, our children, those times when we find ourselves in trials, dark valleys, situations when we feel completely powerless to help our loved ones, to help our children, our friends, our families. Then we know that we can be very much capable to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking until we do not receive the answer from God or are granted with his peace that surpasses all. I remember the situation when Benjamin, our middle son, almost died after he was born. We have learned later on that he might be suffering from the heart problem. Now, there was no hesitation at that point not to pray. There was no reason why not come before the Lord and question him why. There was no shame in asking, seeking him, and knocking for his response. I would, however, point out that the peace came when we have released Benjamin into the loving and sovereign hands of our Lord. But the question is, why do we fall short so many times to pray with such a zeal for our spiritual growth? Why is it so hard to put effort and persevere in prayers for each other, not to be judgmental and proud or critical in spirit, but instead look at each other as better than ourselves, forgive one another and not to hold grudges, love our enemies and pray for them, to be sincere in our faith and live Christians' lives as a result of our convictions rather than be satisfied with cultural Christianity. You see, perhaps this is precisely what Europe, the new dark continent, needs today. Perhaps this is precisely what Northern Ireland needs, what Slovenia needs. Namely, radical disciples that are mighty, mighty in this kind of prayer. Radical disciples who pray passionately that God would help us that we would not forget him and his ways, that we would not exclude him and push him out of our lives, but instead acknowledge him in all our ways and have him take the lead in our lives. God's children praying for one another. Churches praying for one another, for perseverance, to live out these kingdom values by the power of Holy Spirit as witnesses to people and even nations around us. You know, what a challenge, what an encouragement, what an opportunity. Because not only we ought to pray for this, but second, we ought to come with the expectation that we will not be dismissed. Verse 8. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. In these words, we have a guarantee that we will not be dismissed empty-handed by our Heavenly Father. In the parallel passage in Luke 11, we read about the friend who without shame and boldly came knocking to his friend's house at midnight in order to ask him for help. He ran out of goods which he could serve another friend and show hospitality, which was very important. Eventually, after his persevering plea, urges the friend in the house to open the door and help the friend in need who had this kind of audacity to come and disturb him and his family at such a late and inconvenient hour. Now we know that genuine and deep friendships can produce some admiring results, and we all have experienced that. But we must equally recognize how much more will our greatest friend, our caring, loving, and gracious Heavenly Father, graciously grant our requests when we, as his children in genuine need, come before him with sincere requests. You see, brothers and sisters, I am not quite sure whether we really understand the gravity of these words. Because by the grace of God, we can come before him with bold perseverance. But to be honest, we so many times struggle to even come before him with thanksgiving. And when we speak of these bold perseverance in prayer, we do not talk about selfish desires, as we have already mentioned in the beginning, as if God has to give us everything we ask of him. No, our persistent and bold prayers are firstly pleas that God would act according to his character, his promises, his will, that he would exalt his holy name in our midst, our cities and our countries, that he would expand his kingdom and awaken our friends and family members who do not yet know him. That they would come to know him, come to love him, that they would serve him, and that they would worship him alone. Their pleas that God would give us what we need, forgive us by his grace, that he would help us to forgive others and save us from evil. You see, our prayer life shows and witnesses to the fact whether we really desire that so much in our lives. And then, when we more and more understand that we are not able to live the Christian life by ourselves, we, thirdly, are coming with the expectation to receive a precious gift. Verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Here Jesus emphasizes his point by using a rhetorical question, in order that disciples might grasp the importance of his words. And the answer is that no father, at least no normal parent, would do that to his child, even though we are sinful parents. If we therefore look for ways to give the best to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the best he can? He will not reject us or give us some cheap knockoff copy. He will give us the best and the most precious gift. Again, in the parallel passage in Luke 11, we can read that he will gladly and graciously give us the most precious gift we can ever receive. And what is this? Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But why is the Holy Spirit the most precious gift that our Heavenly Father gives us? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit is the most precious gift that he can give us, because there is, among any other possible gifts, none is more valuable than God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. On top of that, we cannot live a Christian life without the Holy Spirit. There is no deep, living, active, and persevering faith without him. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no new birth, because he is the one that opens our eyes so that we may see clearly our sinful state before the Lord. He opens our minds so that we can understand clearly our need for forgiveness and accept God's gracious gift in Christ Jesus. Martin Luther, in the third article of the Small Catechism, put it like this: I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Just as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us to understand God's word, keep it in our hearts, and live according to it. The Holy Spirit empowers us that we go out and boldly and without shame proclaim the gospel of Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray and always, that means always, gives meaning to our prayers when we come before God in prayer. It gives us assurance that we are God's children and He will complete the work He has started in us. The Holy Spirit helps us to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us to see and view God as a loyal and open-handed friend, a caring and loving Heavenly Father. So let us therefore, brothers and sisters, be encouraged to continue to be radical and persevering in our prayers for spiritual fruit, for spiritual growth in our lives, for the glory of God. Let us keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking for the renewal of our churches, for the renewal of mission organizations, that we might indeed, perhaps even in our lifetime, see a different Europe, a different world. Let us pray for each other, that we will continue to carry God's name by the power of the Holy Spirit as witnesses to people and even nations around us, regardless of what that price will be in the future.